36 Hammond Street in the heart of downtown Bangor.
Come in, let us cater to you and discover why we say drink, eat, live better.
Dunnett Incorporated is a family-owned business that's been serving the people of Central Maine since 1948, offering the best in appliances and mattresses from brands you know and trust, and they service what they sell. If you've had the experience of buying an appliance and finding that service means waiting on hold on a helpline, discover the Dunnett difference from pros who know what they're doing and are here to help. Visit them at 63 Washington Street, Penobscot Plaza in Bangor. Check out the website at dunnettinc.com or give them a call at 947-4572. Dunnett has done it again. On Downtown's 4:30. And time for us to check in with our friend Larry Mahoney of the Bangor Daily News. Hi there, Larry.
Little Spy and the Family Stone from the Bay Area.
Oh, that love that song.
Wasn't it a great song?
And you know, you got to love those former disc jockeys who go on to do well in life.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That was number one, stayed at number one for 3 weeks. That was one of their three number ones. Name the other two, Richard.
Let's see. Everyday People.
Very good.
And Hot Fun in the Summertime?
Nope.
Ooh.
No. I'll give you a hint. A long name. Long name.
Thank you for letting me be myself again.
Yes, sir. There you go. They had five top 10 hits. That song, Family Affair, it was released in November 1971. In 1972, it was voted the number 79 song for that year. Rolling Stone magazine, Rich, in 2021 chose that song number 57 among the 500 greatest hits of all time.
Yeah, I believe it. It's a great song. And of course, it was a family band in many ways. Sister Rose. Singing lead on that, and not in the family, but the great Larry Graham, a part of the group as well. They were so good.
I got to tell you a good story about this. So there's a bunch of us, Sly and the Family Stone played at the Bangor Auditorium. So a bunch of us guys got together, and this was, Rich, I'm not sure what year, but this is right after the bottled mixed drinks came out, screwdriver, like vodka and orange.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One bottle. It was pre-mixed, so it was all right there. So we got a bunch of that, and we got, as we were saying in Maine, we got hammered, snocked. And so we went to the concert. So we were blitzed. Let's use all of them. We get into the concert, and we're zippered, but we're coherent anyway. Sly and the Family Stone are an hour and 45 minutes late.
Oh, boy.
By the time they come out, we're sober, and we enjoyed the concert even more than we probably would have if they had come when they were supposed to.
I'm guessing you were probably all in better shape than Sly was.
Yeah, and we think that's what happened. So that's probably why they were that late. But the other thing I'll never forget, Rich, is when they would play, they had a trumpeter named Cynthia Robinson. And when they would go into that, when she would stand up and start, everyone stood to hear the horn section because it was such an important part of that band. And they really were good. I mean, and like I said, they're one of these bands that they may not have, I don't know if any of their hits, Dance and Music, of course, was their first hit. That went to number eight. I don't know if any of those their songs would crack my top 100 of all time, personally. But you've heard their greatest hits. There's not a bad song on there.
No, and yeah, my summer playlist always includes copious listens to Hot Fun in the Summertime.
Yeah, that's a great one. If You Want Me to Stay is a subtle hit. I mean, they had a bunch of them that were like top 100, top 50 or something, but. But there's really, you just put it on and just let it play. I mean, because there's not a bad song. It's not a there's really not a song that you would change a channel on your radio. You know, they're all just very pleasant. And Family Affair, as you know, because being the disc jockey that you were, it's a little different. It was a little different. Their other songs are kind of happy, you know, sort of chippy, happy, you know, songs. That had some stones to it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
A deep, you know, yeah. So anyway, there's our song trivia for today.
He did. I don't know how involved he was in the writing of it, but I think he came out with an autobiography within the last year or so.
Oh, Sylvester Stewart.
Yeah.
Sly. Yeah. Yeah. He married. He had a couple. I think he married a couple band members. I think he may have had a child with some a female band member and stuff. And yeah, I mean, he certainly had his share of demons. He was born into a religious family. In Texas, and then they moved, but to California, and I think his first DJ gig was in San Mateo, California, and that eventually led to his first band was, you're not going to believe this name of this song, Sly and the Stoners.
He was also was a producer for a while too, and had some pretty good success there.
Yeah. No, it's just. It was a good band, really was. And you know, again, you and I were blessed to live in that era with so many good bands and
absolutely
so much good music.
Good stuff there. Larry Mahoney with us here on Downtown. Well, where to begin? Let's talk a little Maine hockey. Another impressive effort in an exhibition game against Army. It's early still, but boy, people like what they've seen from the Bears through the first couple of games.
Yeah, what I was writing about is one of the things that was really positive is the evolution of a fourth line. I mean, you know, you play four lines, three sets of defensemen, and if you can't play four lines, if you're uncomfortable, and that's been the case in his first 3 years, you know, the fourth line, you were hoping that you know, that they didn't get scored on, but now he's got with Oscar Komarov. With Owen Fowler, who he felt was the best forward of his team for the night, as a left wing on the fourth line. Oscar Komarov's a freshman. And then they have Anthony Calafiore, who last year was probably the most dependable fourth liner as a freshman on the right wing. And then Thomas Pichette played some on the fourth line because they were able to expand their rosters because it was an exhibition game. So if they can play four lines, now that keeps everybody fresh. And if your fourth line can contribute, that's even better because, as you know, on the road, the home team gets the last line change. So a lot of times if you put your fourth line out, what will the other team do? They'll put their top line out against them. But, you know, if he can get four lines, and that you know, again, that gives your elite players some rest, and so when they're out there, they're fresher and going to be more effective and more impactful. But that was a real development. And you know, right now, I mean, you know, their top two returning scorers from last year, Josh Nadeau and Lyndon Breen, have just one assist between them, and that's a good sign too, because you know they're going to come out of it. And now you got three lines that can be productive. So I mean, but again, you have to weigh the opponent. I mean, AIC was picked fourth in Atlantic Hockey this year. They have 15 freshmen and sophomores. Army was picked 10th in the 11-team league, Atlantic Hockey, and they dressed 17 freshmen and sophomores. So I mean, you know, there's no reason to, you know, so don't go buying your tickets to St. Louis for the Frozen Four yet. This weekend you'll have a much, much better idea. When Quinnipiac comes to town, won the national championship in 22-23, won 27-10-2 last year, beat Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament and lost to a finalist, BC, 5-4 in overtime in the second round. So, and they won it all, won 34 games, won it all 2 years ago. So that will be the litmus test. That will show you how good Maine is and what they need to work on.
And a top 10 battle now, Quinnipiac number 7 in the country, the Bears up to number 9 this week.
Yeah, yes, sir. So, I mean, this place is going to be rocking, so it should be a fun weekend. And, of course, it's homecoming weekend. Maine football is going to Villanova, and, you know, and the weather, everything I've seen looks very positive.
Well, by the way, I had a listener question for you. In regard to the Army game, do those stats count for individuals because it was an exhibition game?
No. No, nothing counts. No, right. Just no, the stats don't count. It's just like they don't count anything. But it was an important game simply because Maine didn't have a game for that weekend, and Ben Barr did not want to go 2 weeks without playing and then play Quinnipiac. So you know he and Brian Riley, the coach down Army, are very close friends, and they worked it out. So Army came up and played the exhibition game, and for Brian Riley, he said, you know, this is great for us to get our, you'll have our young people, young players, get an opportunity to play against a quality team. And he just raved about Maine's how hard Maine was on the puck. In other words, how they just relentless on puck pursuit and winning pucks and stuff. But you know, it's going to be a lot more difficult this weekend with Quinnipiac. Then they go to Northeastern, and Merrimack comes in, and then they got BCBU. You know, the next 6 weeks are going to be really telling.
Well, it was a nice weekend for the women's hockey team too, getting a split with Providence.
Yeah, heartbreaker was Friday night's game. They gave up a goal with 2 seconds left in overtime, or they would have come out with a win and a tie. But yeah, it's always good to get a win and get them their first win after three losses. Good for them. Maine women's soccer going to 5-0 in the conference with a 2-1 win on the road at UMBC. And so, you know, there was many ways, it was a very positive weekend, you know, for the Black Bears. And the football team, like we were talking before we came on here, I mean, you know, you turn the ball over four times, you're not going to win, even in, you know, and especially against a team that's superior, against a team that's going to the FBS that has more than the 63 scholarships that you're allowed in the FCS, so they can't play in the participate in the NCAA tournament on the FCS. The FCS playoffs. So, you know, it's a 23-21 game with 12 minutes left, and a 23-21 game with 7 minutes left, and then the touchdown pass, and then the pick six, and game set match, and then another interception, and another late touchdown. So score really wasn't indicative of the game, but I think it's something a lot they could build on.
I think so, too. Yeah, the fact that Maine was able to play with them, this is a very good Delaware team, and Maine was right there with them, and certainly in the first half. That goal line stand at the end of the half, that's about as exciting a defensive play as we've seen from a Black Bears team, maybe since the 2018 playoff run.
Well, I just did some stats, Rich, and they are one sack away from last year's total.
Yes.
They have 13. They had 14 all last year. They're averaging 2.17 sacks a game, led by Xavier Holmes, of course, having a great year.
Well, they got three against Delaware on Saturday, and Delaware really had only given up two all season going into that game.
Yeah. I mean, so progress is being made, but again, the margin of error for a team like Maine is so small that if you turn it over, I mean, it's the difference between winning and losing, and like I said, in that situation, I mean, they fumbled in the first half and then three picks in the second half. You know, although Delaware now, as you probably know, is leading the FCS in turnover margin of plus 12. You know, you just can't make mistakes. Those are self-inflicted, Richie.
You can't
turn the ball over. You throw the ball out of bounds, or you don't force it into coverage. I mean, there's 7 minutes left. They're down by nine. So you put together a good drive, and then maybe you get the ball back and score some points on that drive and get the ball back with a chance to win it. But, again, the pick six, that was it. Game over.
And uncharacteristic from Carter Peavy, who had only been intercepted once all season going in and made really good decisions. I think it was just one of those situations. You know, quarterbacks, you know what they're like, Larry. They've got a lot of confidence, and I think he tried to do a lot of it himself and forced it into coverage, which he hasn't done most of the year, and the Black Bears paid. But he'll bounce back. If there's a guy I expect to have a really good game against Villanova, it's Peavy.
And they're going to need it. I mean, we were on the conference call today. Villanova is stacked on defense. I mean, they got one of the most experienced defenses in FCS. Now, offensively, apparently, they only have one of their playmakers back, Sanchez, in addition to, of course, their quarterback Watkins is a six-year quarterback, and he's outstanding. He had a great game up here in 2022. But he doesn't have a lot of weapons he's used to. I lost most of his running backs and wide receivers. So, you know, it'll be imperative for Maine to be able to put some pressure on him. And they also, again, they sort of have to cage him.
Right.
He's a runner too. I mean, he's not just a thrower. I mean, he'll extend plays with his legs. So they're going to have to really be stout against him. And then, you know, the offense, again, kind of faded in the second half, Rich. I mean, they need to, you know, they couldn't run the ball. They ran the ball somewhat in the first half, not much in the second half. You know, they need to be a little more consistent on that side of the ball, too. And of course, so all the interceptions, you know, hurt, too. So, obviously.
Larry Mahoney with us here on Downtown. Larry, since last we talked, another Maine high school has suspended their football program because of a hazing investigation. And this happened a couple of years ago with the Brunswick program. It's boy, it's a tough thing, I think, for athletic administrators. You do everything you can. You let people know. But ultimately, 16, 17-year-olds sometimes make some bad decisions.
Yeah, they do. They do. But you know, kids are different, Rich. They're so worldly now. I mean, they, you know, thanks to the internet and everything else, I mean, they know better. I mean, they know, you know, they know that, you know, with cell phones and social media, everything gets out there. And so you have to be careful. And, you know, that's something, you know, you hate to see that. But, you know, it's and, you know, it doesn't just impact them. I mean, you suspend the program. I mean, you got, you know, four or five schools that are with, all of a sudden without a game because of mistakes made by that team. So, I mean, you know, hopefully this will be a wake up call to every school in the state that you know, you can't have hazing. You've got to police that, and you've got to again make sure that your program is you know, following guidelines.
Yeah, and that it's tough, but it means coaches need to be pretty vigilant in the locker room and things like that, and know what's going on with their players, and even some of the things that are maybe on the mild side, but you need to stay away from things like, hey, freshmen, you carry the equipment in, or you know, you guys do this. Yeah. No, you got to treat everybody equally and equitably in any kind of school related activity.
That's where the coach gets involved. I mean, right. Let's face it. I mean, I think in a lot of places, I mean, yeah, freshmen pay their dues, and that's one of the things they have to do. And the coach just says, okay, freshmen, welcome to the team. We're glad to have you. But as freshmen, you know, we want you to bring the footballs in after practice. You guys can take turns and stuff like that. And make it so that it's just something that is a consistent bylaw of their program. But you know, you can't have upperclassmen or demanding freshmen do things that maybe they don't feel like doing.
Right.
So I mean, that's where you have to have a set of guidelines.
Absolutely. Larry Mahoney with us here on Downtown. Larry, always great talk with you. I look forward to doing it again in a couple weeks, and most of all, wondering where we'll go musically next time.
Where do you want to go? Throw something out. Do you want to go? Do you want to go hard rock? Do you want to go? Obscure hits by bands that have a bunch of hits. One of the things I've always liked to do is to think about it, is some bands that had songs that were so much better than their hits.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's a fun. Well, I like that route. Let's go that route in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and you know, like for instance, you may say, let me give an example. Okay, song like the Eagles. I mean, you know, Hotel California is probably the most overplayed song on the radio, but there's subtle songs like "Victim of Love" is
yes.
A terrific song that didn't get nearly the airplay. I don't even know if it was it was a hit, but it was a very mild hit, but. Yeah, there are just so many. Steve Miller Band. I mean, Jet Airliner, all those songs. Going Down to Mexico is a classic. But again, that didn't get the airplay. You know, they got Jet Airliner and Pump It. You know, all their hits get. That's what gets played all the time. And here's another one. Here's another one, Rich. That you know, going way back in time, Herman's Hermits. The song one of my favorites. You never ever hear.
No Milk Today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, great minds think alike, Larry.
Bad boy, Richard. Bad boy. Never ever hear it.
No, and was one of their very best songs.
I know. Never gets airplay. You know, it's Henry the Eighth and
Mrs. Brown. You've got a lovely daughter.
Yes, another one. Yeah, but No Milk Today is just really, really a good little snappy song, and you'll never hear it on the air.
We'll play it here, by God. There we go. Larry, good stuff.
Hey, you know what? You know what? That's what we're doing. 2 weeks, Rich.
You got
to call. You don't have to text me.
We're all over it.
That's what we're going with. Right. No milk today.
Great. We'll see you then. Thanks, Larry. See you at the main game on Saturday.
Thanks, man. Right. Yeah, talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.